Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com.
We all have our morning routine.
These kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We have Billy Jaffe on the phone. He's an analyst from NESN. And he has got to get out of here something quick.
Oh, does he? Okay. Because real quick, I just want to tell you, we were talking about Tavares and the teams he's been looking at. And when I was mentioning, because I'd been reading a lot about how for some reason, you know, how do you explain Dallas? And we know Tampa obviously is a good team. And the explanation had been because there's no state tax. And you said, well, why not the Predators? And I thought that was a great question. Well, apparently the Predators are in on Tavares. And I guess there was a... with the one of his agents or something like that, he was intrigued by. So that makes it a little more interesting. Is that maybe it's just completely and totally about the money, and at least maybe who will give him the most money out of those places, and then who will give him the best chance to win. So,
all right, Billy Jaffe, do you believe?
No, hold on. I don't see. I don't think it is. Look, he's going to get his money wherever it is, fellas. Nashville's also a hell of a team. So he's going to let them make a pitch. Yes, the no state income tax makes a big deal when it's all said and done, especially, you know, the agent can present it that way. But he's not going to listen to a team that's bad, that lives, geographically in a no state income tax place. John doesn't want to go play for a crappy team.
Yeah, John Tavares, because if you didn't know this, Billy Jaffe covered the Islanders for a few years there. And, okay, so... knowing him the way that you know him, what chance do you give the Bruins? What about the Bruins would you find intriguing?
He would find, first of all, it's a wonderful hockey market, and it's got a lot. The team right now is in a sweet spot. It's got players on it that he really likes in Patrice Bergeron. He knows Marchand well from, you know, Team Canada. He looks at Charlie McAvoy. He looks at, you know, having the leadership already there in Chara for who knows how much longer, but at least for this year we know. He knows that this team has a great pool of legit young players that are coming up. You know, John is a quiet individual. You don't get anything much out of John. I mean, he's a good guy to talk with, but you don't. He's not going to tell you stuff off the record, and it's just not how he works. He's serious. He's you know, straight thinking. He's you heard about his 77-page you know, notebook that he started taking throughout the season on all the teams that he was considering and stuff that he was looking for. That's how John works. I remember, Fred, every year I would go in, and my first thing, and I'd always chuckle, but I would say to John, all right, I'm going to ask you this question I asked you last year. The first time I saw him after summer, I say, what did you feel that you were weakest on last year? What did you work on the most in the offseason? What did you do differently? And he had a list of things every offseason that he worked on to get better. Now you say, well, everybody works on stuff, but this was more than that. John took it to another level. That's why he became a star in the league. So what's my chances for the Bruins? I mean, it's a logical fit. The problem is you can make that argument for three or four of these. I don't see Tampa being a logical fit. Besides his good buddy Steven Stamkos playing there monetarily, Tampa would have to blow up an awful lot down there. I mean, Steve Yzerman's aggressive, so maybe he could figure it out. But the Bruins, it is a logical fit. I still think it's going to be tough, though. I think his team, the Islanders, has the inside track, and I think San Jose's legit. I
do. Why? Why San Jose?
Well, because they're another team that has a void in that, you know, Thornton's going to be retiring. He's going to play this year, but then after that, they're going to have a void. But they have Logan Couture, who he knows from Toronto well. They have Joel Pavelski there. Who one of those guys is going to need new car. They're going to need a new contract, so they're going to have to do some kind of gymnastics next year. But they have some other good young talent too. And I just think that they're like the Bruins right now. They're in that kind of sweet spot of being an in team on the rise. And yes, it's far away away, but John's been playing in a far away place on Long Island. It's not like playing in New York City, And he's been comfortable with that in Long Island.
Okay, so let's say the Bruins do have a shot at Tavares. That would mean that more than likely they would have to find somebody to take David Krejci. What's the market for him right now? Do you think that this would be something that is a little more difficult than we're being led on to, or is there a good market for him?
I do think that there's a market for him. You know, the question or concern that I would have once you sign, if you sign John Tavares, is that you then have, you're dealing from a position of weakness. So in your trade market, because even though Krejci, he is attractive to other teams, but his 7.25 million cap hit, you know, Rich, if you're another GM and I call you up and I say, hey, we got David Krejci would fit well into your team. You're like, yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. But you know, you'll keep 3 million of his 7 million. Well, we don't want it. We can't. Well, you know what? You've got to sweeten the deal then. You've got to make it to where it's worthwhile. If I'm taking all 7.25, and the Bruins are probably prepared to do that. What does that mean? You give them a prospect? Does that mean you give them one of your better young players? Who knows? Is there a market for him? Yeah, there is for Krejci. He has value around the league. It's no question though, fellas. It's always about now because of the cap. Even though the cap went up a couple mil this year, it's always about money. It's about where does that fit in your team at that time.
Now, you to say that the Islanders are probably, you believe the Islanders are in the lead, like the best percentage that he would stay with the Islanders, right?
Seems like it.
Okay,
yeah,
that just seems strange that somebody who would think that that was more than likely the team that he wanted to be with, the team that he'd stayed on. It seems strange for someone to take so many notes about other teams during the year. Don't you think so?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Why is it maybe, you know, maybe he's just so, and I say this complimentary, hockey nerd, you know, like this is his business. Let's just hypothetically speaking, let's say your guy's contract's up and now you start to
hypothetically.
I mean, I don't know if it is, but
it is.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So, but then you start taking mental notes, and sometimes you write things down about what you know about other people around the country, about their situations, and you want to do it. Now, he's taken it to another level, but this is what he's about, and that's why he's so successful, his preparedness. And it's not much different than what Sidney Crosby does. I don't know if he takes notes, but he's fastidious in the way that he presents himself to the game or prepares himself for the game. So I know what you're saying, Rich. Like, okay, why would he do all this work? Well, because you want to talk about sweet spot. I talked about teams in the sweet spot. John Tavares, you know, turning 28 years old.
Yeah, this is the payday.
It's not only his payday. This is where he plays himself out for at least 7 years, in theory, for winning. And he's only been to the playoffs three times. One of them, I can't remember who the Islanders played. It was garbage. They were done in four. They've only been to the second round once in his time. He wants to win. He is passionate about winning. So now, does Lou Lamoriello, the new GM, and does Barry Trotz, the new coach on the island, does that bring him closer to winning? I still say, who's their goalie there? They don't have a goalie right now on Long Island. And I'm not convinced. I mean, they've got some good forwards, but I'm not convinced that they've got the depth on the back end. But maybe they presented a plan to him that's going to show him something different, and he makes that extra eighth year at $11 million. I'll tell you something, fellas. I'm always kind of concerned when I'm paying a guy over $10 million, but that's where the salary cap is right now. I want the best team around my guys, and that means some guys got to take a little bit less. Stamkos did that in Tampa last year, and therefore they've been able to keep more of their players. If they add another player over 10, I think he would be the, if I remember correctly, Connor McDavid's going to be the fourth player with an average value over $10 million. Taves and Kane and Kopitar are the others. Then Tavares will be the fifth player with an average value of his contract over $10
million. Hey, well, at least Chiarelli negotiated against himself to give Connor McDavid that contract. He's a astute businessman. All right, Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy whatever camp you're doing or whatever the hell you're doing today.
Oh, I'm going to talk to youngsters. Oh, I'm going to poison their minds with Billy Jaffisms.
All right, there you go.
See you, fellas.
Yeah, see you, man. Next time, maybe don't manhandle me when you see me.
I was excited, you know.
You were like stating dominance.
No, I didn't pee on your leg. Stop it. I'll talk to you later.
I slid you a fiver.
That's
and you
next
didn't
time.
Do it. Yeah, the last time I saw him, you like manhandled
him. I remember you telling me about that. That is odd.
Yeah, like I get it. You're strong. Like, you know, like I was with like four women, and he has to like manhandle.
That's why he did it.
Yep.
You had to look at.
I'm the stud at this party.
I am the alpha male.
Mm-hmm. When I just started reciting Longfellow, and I said, "Would you rather have brains or brawn?" Hmm. And then I said, "Hurt me all you will, I still have a bird's eye view of certain tootsies."
Oh gosh, no! It just went to a foot thing all of a sudden.
I didn't see that coming at all.
It all goes back to being obsessed with feet.
I completely did not see that coming.
Please throw me upon the ground.
All right.
Yeah. Scoop it again. Keep it in the pocket, baby. Oh, yeah. Let me just bust out a little Jeff Healey.
That's some sweet blues there.
I'm playing the bass and I'm looking at the drummer. I'm just like, yeah, we got it. We're laying it down. Don't worry about it, man. You just slide that neck, and we'll be back here making it happen.
If you want to watch the corniest thing you've ever seen in your life, there was a movie that came out like in the late 80s called Crossroads.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember
Ralph
this?
Ralph Macchio, right?
It was Steve Vai.
Ralph Macchio, and it's I never saw the whole thing, but it looks like it is an interpretation of The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
No. It's interpretation of Robert Johnson and the story that the blues legend Robert Johnson, who everyone loves his music. It comes off great. It's not scratchy and sounding like
I like that stuff.
Yeah, no, you don't.
I like it.
If I put you on a lie detector, you would not like it.
I swear to God, I like that stuff. And I asked my wife. I listened to it. But
it's awful.
I love that stuff. Matter of fact,
Robert Johnson, who would like recorded
there's
like,
nothing better than like when I'm in New Orleans and I used to go there all the time. There was nothing better than going into like one of these dingy bars where it's just some old dude in the corner with a guitar by himself.
It's not Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson recorded on a shoe.
Yes, and it sounds all crackly, like because the only thing they have are like recordings. See, I actually listen to that stuff, and I'm not lying. Ask my wife.
Then you do it because you've been brainwashed in some way.
I like it. It's comforting.
Then you don't even know the story about Robert Johnson.
I do, but I thought it was based on the devil, which is, yeah, he sold his soul to the devil.
He went to the crossroads, and he sold his soul to the devil.
Okay.
And the devil had the worst audio equipment of all time. And he said, here, a bunch of nerds are going to pretend to like this.
Sure. He basically sold his soul to be a great guitarist.
So that's the idea. So I cannot believe the devil came down to Georgia and you call yourself a Robert Johnson fan. So what happens is Ralph Macchio.
All I know is that I've seen the one scene in it that is the corniest thing ever, and that is the shred off between Ralph Macchio and Steve Vai. Steve Vai obviously works for the devil.
The devil sends Steve Vai, and Steve Vai absolutely destroys him in the battle, and they say Ralph Macchio won. And then Steve Vai like crumbles into hell.
Okay, that's a great point because I'm watching it and it's like, oh, you know, Steve Vai's doing this super shredding and then Ralph Macchio goes up there and wins the crowd over and I'm like, Steve Vai kicked your ass.
Yeah, Steve Vai goes like, and then Macchio goes,
it's like, ooh, I got some blues.
And they're like, ooh. And then Ernie Bach pops up and he says, how about this?
I'm going to honk on the bobo a little for you here.
And then one more random thing. Watch the 1983 Van Halen performance at the US Festival where David Lee Roth is blacked out drunk and just try not to cringe when he picks up the harmonica.
That's got to be funny, though.
It's like The Office. It's funny, but also at the same time, like, whoa.
Well, speaking of funny, but at the same time, it's whoa. That is the reaction that we got when our program director, after years of these things being missing, I guess 12 years removed or 10 years removed, you can finally clean your hands of something. But it was when David Lee Roth did morning radio. And I had heard it because I was in a market at the time where that show was airing. Fred did not hear it. And I kept calling him saying, you are not going to believe how bad it is. I mean, like, so bad that it's like almost mesmerizing. He has a music bed in the background that's like bongo music, and it never goes away. And it's way high in the mix. And he'll just like, it's listening to a madman, just like, and not in a good way, in like a Charles Manson type way. Just like, oh yeah, and I got this over here, and he would make all these weird like analogies that didn't make sense, and it would go on and on and on. And I told Fred about it, and he goes, well, now that we have those tapes, should we play any of it? I was like, no. Because it takes like 10 to 15 minutes of listening to the show to realize where is my 10 to 15 minutes gone because my brain is scrambled.
Yeah.
And so
I don't have a CD player, so I can't listen to
them. That is pretty funny.
I just realized that.
You don't have a CD thing anymore. Well,
all right. So The Ringer is a site that, for the most part, is verbal, written diarrhea.
Once again,
it doesn't stop coming out. It's meant for it to. If you have a weak index finger, don't even bother going to it because you're going to be scrolling until your finger falls off. But Ian O'Connor is a good writer.
Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah, whatever. Ian Kevin, whatever the deal is. He sold, talk about the crossroads, he sold his soul to the devil of high-pitched idiots when he started working for Bill Simmons. And so Bill Simmons has a podcast called Hey, This Is Too Long. And he had Kevin O'Connor on.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connor, who we like. And it's a very good NBA writer.
I could give or take him. I don't need him
on
the show.
He makes the best draft analysis like you've ever seen.
Does he equate it to making blueberry muffins? This is the blueberry muffin of the draft.
Is that what Bill Simmons does now? Because he used to compare it to Jersey Shore characters.
Yeah, like this is the Vinny. Because it's kind of classy, but, you know, he can get around with the bros.
Sure. But instead,
I suck. All right, go ahead.
All right, well.
I called in the Touch and Rich show twice and then completely suck. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so here's for the podcast. They're talking about the whole situation with Kawhi Leonard and Jaylen Brown, and Kevin O'Connor said something interesting. He has a kind of an opinion of note when it comes to the value of Jaylen Brown.
Would you be floored if the Celtics did a Jaylen Brown and a Kings package for Kawhi in the next, like, 3 days?
No. I think they should go for it. I think Jaylen Brown has become a tad overrated.
I do.
And it's funny because
he's now the overrated.
He used to be way underrated, right? Like entering the draft, all Celtics fans were like, want Chris Dunn, you know, want Jamal Murray. And it's like, no, Jaylen Brown is like an elite athlete, you know, with length and scoring upside of his shot that really, really comes along, and it has. But I do wonder, like I said earlier, he's still not a great ball handler, and maybe I'm underrating him now, but I still haven't seen that progress as much as I would hope to in terms of fluid athleticism, in terms of like a quick twitch movements, driving the ball. And he's going to be a good player for a long time, for a very, very long time. But I'm not sure I see that path to a Kawhi level. I can see a Paul George level potentially.
Okay, well, a couple things about that, and I like Kevin O'Connor, but it's 2 years in. Like, how good is this guy supposed to be after 2 years?
I agree with him. I've always said that.
Well, I think wants Jaylen Brown to be traded for Kawhi Leonard feels the same way as Kevin does.
And he also just said that I don't see him being a Kawhi Leonard. Okay, Kawhi Leonard's a top five player in the league. I don't think any of us imagine Jaylen Brown to be that. And he said, but I see him at a Paul George level. Okay.
As a possibility.
I'll take it. I will take that.
I would get rid of Jaylen Brown. Like, in 10 seconds.
For Kawhi Leonard for a year?
For Kawhi Leonard or for numerous other things.
You see, I would too. Well, I would do it for Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, God.
For a year.
What?
That's the take that just blows my mind.
That's what? Oh. Oh. This is a national podcast where I play with myself over the Celtics every day. Why anyone outside of New England would listen to this is really maybe a clue into why I failed on HBO.
See, I'm laughing at this because there's some Bubby mixed in there. It really, I'm trying to visualize.
You
that.
Seem to like both of them with the same amount of fever.
Yeah, there's some Bubby imitation.
Bubby's a little
there,
bit.
At least Jaylen Brown never stole your weed and threw it away.
I thought it was oregano.
Yeah, of course.
That's right. I keep a big bag of oregano in the freezer, Bubby. Oh, it was weed. My bad. Oh, no. Why don't you just take money out of my wallet, stupid?
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I mean, Jaylen Brown, he averaged almost 15 points in his second year. The guy shot almost 40% from three. I don't understand why he would be overrated.
He doesn't have the fast twitch athleticism.
No, maybe he does not. Maybe he
Can
does
you play
not.
The sound of Bill Simmons being floored by the
Oh,
the
my God.
How long was that podcast that he was on?
Probably 90,000 minutes.
Over under an
hour and a half.
At least an hour and 40 minutes.
An hour and a half of uninterrupted talk.
Yeah.
Did you have his cousin
and
on?
And now we're going to speak to the guy who plays Fat Albert on SNL and doesn't really do much. And we're going to ask him about the Celtics. What do you think of Celtics?
But first, here's Pearl Jam.
No, that was like that was what that show was, like courtside with Bill Simmons. And I'm like, this is amazing. How cool is it going to be that HBO is going to be there during the NBA Finals? We're going to get this kind of access that, you know, cameras behind the scenes when J.R. Smith makes that brain fart. LeBron James goes nuts and crosses his arms. What happened? There's going to be video of him punching the blackboard that ends up screwing up his hand. And there was none of that. It was a highlight reel. And hey, John Hamm, what do you think about Kawhi, man? You think he's going to go here?
Well, yeah, Kawhi's a good player.
That's great.
Hey, John Hamm, who's from St. Louis and lives in L.A., what do you think of Kawhi Leonard? I don't know, stupid. Why don't you plug my movie? All right.
Oh, my God. Stanley Roberts is very angry at us.
Oh, Jesus, no. Again? Wait, it's 6:30 in the morning on the West Coast.
Stanley Roberts is, because our listeners went and started...
pelting him.
Stanley Roberts is, he's already picking a fight this morning. Roberts, if you don't know, he's the People Behaving Badly guy from San Francisco who does, he's basically the Perd Perdley character, whatever his name is, from Parks and Recreation. And we played a story of his this morning. Maybe we should just quickly revisit the story when we come back because Stanley Roberts is very angry, very upset.
Well, here's what you should do. Contact him and say, well, will you just email me like a bunch of really good clips of you?
Okay.
And see what he sent. And tomorrow we'll play him. And say, I guarantee you we'll play him tomorrow.
This is pretty funny.
Okay, so we'll hear about that. Here are the headlines.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, yeah. It's a media war. We are Toucher and Rich. And do you have the clip in there? Because I don't have it in Vox Pro. There's no need to stop it. There's this guy named...
Oh, you don't have it in Vox Pro?
No. But it doesn't matter. Just play it through.
I don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it?
No. It's only for Vox Pro.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway. It's a guy who goes around and he finds people doing petty things. Like he found a woman who dog was walking on a field that said no dogs, and he went and he got hurt.
It's Stanley Roberts from KRON over in San Francisco.
And that is the epitome of behaving badly.
That's right. It's his segment, People Behaving Badly.
Here's Stanley Roberts, who found some people behaving badly.
And these are bad, bad people. You've seen them go out and find people who were fishing and were taking fish out that were a couple inches too long. There was one guy who did a U-turn in the middle of a one-stoplight town.
People on the freeway that were not chucking cigarette butts out of the car, but merely ashing out of the car.
Right.
And he tracked them down off the freeway and gave them a talking to. And every time we play him, he gets very offended and tweets. And what did he tweet to you?
Okay, so in the clip that we played earlier in the show, I can't believe we don't have it. The clip we played earlier on in the show.
Does anyone have it and you can just give it to me? I mean, I didn't know. I thought we could just play it straight from the thing.
No, so here is a here's a guy who went and he goes around town and he busts out the video camera and he tries to, you know, get lawbreakers. And sometimes things don't work out that well. There's people who, you know, make fun of him.
Thank you. Okay. Badass.
So, I mean, listen, I mean, he does have a little bit of a weight problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, here's the clip that he got mad about today.
Okay.
So you're sitting at the park in San Francisco. Then suddenly a huge orange furry dog appears. No, the dog is not on a leash. It's just walking with the owner through the park. Some of you may not see a problem with that. What about this dog owner with a dog on a leash? As a dog does what dogs do best. Well, at least the owner is freeing it up. However, I do need to talk to
you. Okay, so there's this baseball field, all right? Like a suburban baseball field. And behind the bleachers, like right near where the sidewalk is, this woman, old lady with a dog, the dog uses the bathroom, goes number two, and the old lady reaches in her pocket, and she gets a little baggie. She picks up the dog poop and throws it away responsibly. But Stanley Roberts, my man's got, he's got a problem.
So, question for you.
Yes.
As you walk in, there's a sign that says no dogs on playing field, but you brought your dog here to poop right here on the playing field.
I don't want to be on camera right now to talk about it.
That's not on the playing field.
That's still part of the whole area, man.
I apologize. Are you with the Park Service or are you?
I am not. I'm with Channel 4. The interesting part about this story is right across the street, less than 100 feet away, is a dog park with enough room to run. You see, the problem is many dog owners have been bringing their dogs to play and do other things here. So I asked Pam, a regular watcher of Kron, what's the problem?
But most of the time they would like to bring them over here where there's grass because it's softer. They have more places to run.
Which is why all over the park there are signs which reads, no dogs allowed on the athletic field. And other signs which read, dogs must be on the leash. I was told on any given day there are up to 6 dogs running around on the playing field. Although I was told word got out that I was at the park. Which might explain why all the dogs are over at the dog park on this day. In San Francisco, Stanley Roberts, Kron 4
News. It's almost like you won a raffle to become to go on TV. And they don't trust him to do anything.
So here's what he did. On his assignment, he waited all day at a suburban baseball field, and the only video that he got was an elderly lady very politely picking up her dog's poop nowhere near the actual field of play, and he turns it into a story.
How does this guy choose his assignment? Is there an actual assignment guy saying, all right, Stanley, here's what we want you to do today?
No.
Sure. I follow guys in hopes they make illegal U-turns.
All right. So Stanley Roberts, every time we talk about him, our listeners get him all riled up, which is fantastic. And I would like to thank our listeners. So someone tweeted this morning and said, hey, that story on the dogs at the baseball field was ridiculous. That poor elderly lady. Do you give yourself a high five at night after these stories? And Stanley Roberts tweeted back to them and said, if you noticed or even paid attention, just above where the dog pooped were about 2 dozen backpacks which belonged to kids playing tennis. First of all, I'm looking at the video. I'm not seeing that.
What does that have to do with anything?
During the course of the day, at least 4 kids dropped things in that spot and were crawling underneath to retrieve items, even food. Well, I would say that's a problem with the kids.
Yeah, you're eating food off the ground?
Jesus! If there's kids...
And then why is Stanley just standing there watching kids playing tennis?
That's actually a pretty damn good question.
That's even creepier.
Yeah,
to be quite honest, why would that happen? By the way, someone says Stanley Roberts sounds like a heavier Marshall Hook. It does kind of sound that way. And then, of course, Stanley Roberts is a guy who he actually craves the spotlight. So he goes. Somebody tweeted him and said, they're talking about me again. Nice to know I am in the minds of the Bostonians.
Right. All right, so send him a tweet that says, hey, Stanley, big fans, can you send us some of your favorite clips?
Can you send... Now, favorite isn't really a good way to say it. Like, some of the
most
the ones,
controversial, or I don't know.
Ones favorite. That you feel you've done the community the biggest service.
Sure, and that's same thing as favorites. But yeah, say it however you want, and then let's
your
see.
Best work.
Your best work. Yeah, your favorites, your best work.
Okay.
Send that to him, and then we'll see what we get, and we'll play him tomorrow.
Okay, that's a great idea. I will do that to him right now.
And then
now.
That's completely fair. Mm-hmm. Just you send us clips that you find rewarding and that have done the public good, and then we can go ahead and play them tomorrow.
Although I do believe that it's not going to get much better than this one.
Video thing in my car, you know I could break it, right?
If you break it, if you touch it.
By the way, this gentleman's wearing an Elmo shirt. Stanley Roberts is getting he's getting cussed out by a guy wearing an Elmo shirt.
Video thing in my car, you know I could break it, right?
If you break it, if you touch it.
If it goes in my car, I can break it.
Okay.
And so put it in my car if you want
to. It's not in your car.
Exactly. I bet you won't go in my car.
I'm not going to do that.
I bet you won't go in my car, like I said. So since you're so tough and so smart, Stanley, like I said, put it in my car.
No.
It will get broke. Put it in my car. Can I get the ticket,
thank you,
please?
Sir. Have
like
a good
I said,
day.
Put it in my car, Stanley.
All right, you can give
Roberts.
Me the ticket.
Thank you.
Okay.
Badass.
All right. You want to use your pen? Okay, sir. So by sign answer, not admission of guilt. I just promise you you're gonna take care of the citation. Okay, like I said, hold on, leave it there. Court's gonna send you everything in the mail, okay, sir? If you don't get nothing from the mail, it's the responsibility to take care of it. Court information is here, okay.
So this
sir?
Is for Kron 4 News?
I'm sorry.
Stanley E. Roberts.
This is for people behaving badly on Channel 4.
What about people overeating on Channel 4? Badass. How about that?
Thank right. you, sir.
Build up your 1-800. Drive safe, sir.
1-800, get them, chubby bag.
Have a good day.
YouTube badass.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
And they left it in.
They left the whole thing.
I swear to God.
And by the way, that's there's a longer cut where it's like, because Stanley Roberts tries to make him feel bad and goes, you know how much that ticket is? It's $500. He goes, well, at least I can afford it. The only thing you can afford apparently is food. Imagine is that being your gig? Like, your whole life you've worked to get on television, and you're this journalist, and you're known for a guy in an Elmo shirt calling you a fat ass on TV. It
sounds very eerily similar to my career.
100, get thin, chubby butt.
All right. Thanks.
YouTube fat ass.
Okay.
So please send that out to him.
See, we can't get enough. Can you please send me links to your five greatest moments?
Yeah.
That's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And then if he goes, well, you just make fun of it, then say, well, send us your best stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. I just sent it to him right now.
Well, I look forward to
Stanley
that.
Stanley Roberts he's is up. On
he's,
the case.
He's tweeting back at people at 6:30 in the morning in San Francisco.
Well, if you're Stanley Roberts, you can never sleep.
No dogs allowed on the athletic field.
Thank you, Stanley.
I was told on any given day there are up to 6 dogs running around on the playing field.
Yes, yeah, six per day. That's amazing. One every 4 hours.
There's kids playing tennis.
Well, they've been crawling underneath like bleachers to eat
and
food.
And then there's a guy sitting on a bench watching them chewing on beef jerky and chips.
Then why did you get that footage?
Because I think it's probably illegal to just start taping kids. Putting them on television, or it's certainly creepy. What would you mind more? A dog taking a dump by a tennis court, or some creep sitting there with a camera filming your kids?
Right. Who's behaving bad, more, like worse?
It's just who? Which is weirder? We'll be back, Rich. We'll have time for a story or two. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, my goodness. Poor Doc Rivers. The Clippers just did something cold.
All right. We'll hear all about that.
Have a good day.
YouTube fat ass.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, boys. In between episodes of Perfect Strangers and Mr. Belvedere, you ever watch the movie The Purge?
I've heard of The Purge, yes. I know the one where you can do anything you want at night for one day a year, right?
Right. You think Stanley Robbins would be around if that was happening? he'd be the first casualty of the purge. Like, you think he'd be running around bothering people if that were, like, you know, available in real life? Like, come on.
And here was the first decapitation.
I don't know if this is true, but somebody tweeted me and said that Stanley Roberts once caught a guy parked for 11 minutes in a 10-minute only parking spot.
Oh, that just seems unbelievable.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Of course he did something like that.
Of course. That doesn't surprise me at all.
By the way, I tweeted out Stanley Roberts' one of his best moments. That's the guy in the Elmo shirt. And it's even better.
I've never seen the video.
It's great. It's great. And I love Stanley Roberts, and I hope he continues to do what he's doing because, my God, it makes me laugh every time. I had no idea about that character in Parks and Recreation, but I guess it's exactly
Stanley Roberts. He sounds exactly like him. Okay. Yeah, he sounds...
It's probably based on him. It's got to be. There's got to be some writer who's from San Francisco who's like, we got to base a character on this guy because it's
very
unbelievable.
Well could be.
It probably is.
Because I think that the newscaster on The Simpsons is based on Bill Bonds, a newscaster from Detroit.
No dogs allowed on the athletic field.
Thank you very much.
Scott Zolak. Hello,
sir. Nerds?
Hey. What's going on? How's it going?
You actually saw Uncle Drew.
I did, and it wasn't bad.
Wow.
It was not bad. Listen, it's a movie that's made kind of like for, you know, to bring your kids to.
I think the trailer speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's something I would go see.
It wasn't bad because, I told Fred, they were smart. They let the comedians be the funny ones.
Right.
They kept it, you know, the old people did their, the athletes did their
Shaq
thing.
Shaq, don't talk.
Yeah.
Sander.
Right. Shaq, they kind of kept him to the side. But, I mean, like, Nick Kroll was funny. The guy from Get Out was funny. Tiffany Haddish was funny. It could have been a lot worse. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
By the way, no one's ever given me a correct explanation of what the hell Shaq's talking about in that General commercial.
I still don't know.
Because they say, well, he means when he had less money.
So, the General can insure almost any car and any driver?
We sure can.
You know, I was insured by the General when I was younger.
I don't know what it means.
And so people are like, oh, because he didn't have any money. So that's the commercial? is that like, hey,
you don't have money?
Yeah, but now that you're rich, you don't get the
general. Probably didn't take him one time to shoot that either. That's probably like take number 37.
But he takes like a sip of coffee and then like looks slyly at the
it's
camera.
It's like the cat who ate the canary when I was younger.
So the message is like, once you get a certain amount of wealth, the general's inappropriate for you because it's just garbage insurance.
It's like Rocky. I like the Old Spice to smell good.
It's the general. Bad. It's the bare minimum. As soon as you make a decent, it's for people that can really not put it together.
Yeah, that is a. It was not bad. Mm. And I would come here and I'd crap on it if I had to. But it's
fine. Shirt.
Yeah, the Hey Guys Hey shirt.
We got an announcement 11 o'clock today.
Oh, okay.
Regarding some T-shirts.
Excellent.
We have a big one. Get them back on sale here.
Very nice.
Yep.
They went all in. They bought like a zillion shirts.
Oh, yeah.
So
good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Good for our company. Did you guys go? I heard that lobster bake they did was phenomenal, I guess.
It was like at 11 o'clock, the ferry to go over, and we get off. We leave here like around there.
Capella City had like three lobsters. Said the chowder was unreal. They had an open bar. Can't even get a Christmas
party. What could go wrong?
Couldn't even get a Christmas party from the old company. Oh, yeah. There actually will be one, but it'll be like 4:30 on a Thursday, and you can't bring anybody.
Yeah, that's one thing about the company is they're
all about
the parties.
Families and people.
They
and
are
parties.
Big on the parties.
These are a few of the most effed up things.
That was Chachi in the early days.
Chachi, and we finally have some cash.
They said Wiggy was there, and he had some. He brought lawn darts, dominoes, and dice. He was trying to take people's money inside the pavilion over there.
All things that you don't need to move to do.
It's all right. I got my boy Sergio. He gave me a ride over on his jet ski.
Is that Wiggy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to hit Santapios after.
Have you seen that tattoo on his chest?
No.
Okay, so he tweeted out that video.
I used to shower with him. I mean, when we played together.
Well, he obviously did not have that tattoo at the time.
I don't think he did.
It is enormous.
Because I'd be like, whoa, what's that?
What was it? Was it a cross or a dagger?
Cross with like wings. Yeah.
And it takes up his entire chest.
Because crosses do fly.
Well, it's a flying cross.
It's probably
look at that.
It's probably in memory of someone or something like that.
He probably got passed out, and someone just stamped that on him.
It's a hell of a stamp.
It looks like the back cover, like a Winger album.
Okay,
you know what? That's right. It's good.
Speaking of passed out and doing something with somebody, have you seen the new trend that's going around? Is when you have a buddy that passed, it used to be just like word right in their face, whatever.
Yeah,
there's a new thing called toy storying. Have you heard about this?
No.
Or woodying, I think it's what it's called.
Oh.
And what you do is you take a bunch of strings and you move their hands around as if they're Woody from Toy Story, and you write the word Andy on their foot. So they look like it's like the Toy Story thing. They look like Woody from Toy Story.
It seems to be a lot of trouble.
Oh, it takes a lot of work, but it's become a thing now on the internet. There's a bunch of people drunk and passed out where people are moving their hands around.
All right.
They look like the Toy Story guy.
Hmm. All right. What do you guys got coming up?
What is he doing?
I don't know.
He's taking a steam bath.
Is it Andy and Wiggy?
Ambient Wiggy.
There needs to be another one. All right.
A little bit of everything. A little bit of everything today. Dan Shaughnessy is in, right, Jimmy?
It's going to be a bouillabaisse.
Jim Shaughnessy's in, 11 to 1.
All right.
He'll have something he'll be bitching about.
He'll have something up his sleeve. All right. Well, everyone enjoy yourselves. Hopefully, this Perd guy gets back to us. We have some audio from him. Everyone have a great day. Bye.